people like to make snow angels. I like to make snow angel choirs. The entire choir of snow angels. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Hey, what's up? Y'all just sang your heads off. So, like, you could respond, what's up? Hey, good morning. There you go. Gosh, y'all were so excited while I go. I guess maybe, was it me? I don't know. But anyway, thank you so much for being here this morning. My name's Ron. I'm lead pastor here. And so good to have all of you here as we begin this Christmas season. I am jacked up about it. I love this time of year. And so you're just going to have to bear with me as we kind of get into this. It's just going to be kind of a whirlwind the next several weeks. And so I'm so excited that you're here with us today. We're kicking off this brand new series called Carols, and we're doing it with one of my all-time favorites. And we're going to talk about O Holy Night. Each week what we're going to do is we're going to take one of these carols, and we're going to look into it for some kind of words out of it that I believe really kind of impact us. And they're probably words that maybe you don't think so much about. I really didn't think so much about them either until I just really began to pray over the songs and look at what God was trying to say to us through that. And so hopefully today, when as we finish up, there will be some things that you'll hear and see in this song that every time you hear it from now on, it will mean something brand new and something different to you and will really impact you, because I believe that there is such a message of hope in this song. And so we're gonna be able to look at that as we dig into it. So, O Holy Night, written in the mid-1800s, really came out of a parish pastor going to this local French merchant named Placide. I think it's Capot. Yeah, Placide Capot. And Placide was not a Christian, believe it or not. He was not a believer in Christ, didn't have much to do with it. In fact, if you really want to know the truth, Placide was kind of a hellraiser, all right? He was that person that you know that just is so far from the Lord, that is just creating all kinds of havoc and chaos and everything else. This guy was, I mean, he just wasn't the guy you would expect to come and write this song. What it was, the priest said, hey, Placide, would you take Luke chapter 2, and would you write a poem about it? Would you turn it into a poem? And so Placide wrote this poem, O Holy Night, out of Luke chapter 2. Now, Placide loved it so much, when he was finished with it, he went and got one of his other buddies, who was also not a Christian, who was not a believer, to write the music to this, to put this poem to music. So now you have this incredible song, O Holy Night, written as a poem by somebody who we would look at and say, man, why? He can't do that. He's not in church. He's not a believer. Now this other guy who would be in the same category has put it to music. And so here's this song. It takes off, becomes so popular, until the people did what we would often do and do in our society. They realized it was written by these two hoodlums, and they tried to shut it down. They said, hey, you can't use this song, you can't sing it anymore. But fortunately, it was so out of control, it had taken off and was so popular that they couldn't stop it. And so here's this song written to us. Now, another interesting fact about O Holy Night is this, that in 1906, there was a gentleman, a Canadian professor, Reginald Fesserdern, who in his garage put together a generator and a broadcaster and began to broadcast the very first waves of AM radio. Want to guess what the first words he spoke over those waves were? It was the words of O Holy Night. Then he took out his violin and began to play it. So the first words spoken were O Holy Night. The first song ever played over the radio waves is O Holy Night. Now, that may mean something to you in a trivia game at some point, so you need to make sure you know that. But the key is that not only does this song have an impact on us, but it's had an impact on the world, and it's changed things. So here's this song, "O Holy Night," that we've become so familiar with. Would you just take a moment and listen to the words of this incredible song? Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. O night divine, O night, O night. When Christ was born. What amazing song that is. You know, you can only imagine what that scene would have been like the night of Christ's birth. Can you imagine the manger scene, the whole birth scene? I mean, and think about it. We dress it up into these cute little things that we put on our mantles and on our tables, and it has the little, you know, all the cutesy little pieces to it, and we see it with the ray of the moon and the angels, and it's this moment of the spectacular event. And it's totally wrong. That's not how it went. See, here you have Joseph and Mary, this teenage girl who got pregnant by not her fiance, but by the Holy Spirit. So she's got to convince them how the whole story goes. So the angels settle it up with Joseph. They get them together. They get on a donkey because his census has been announced by Caesar Augustus, and they've got to ride a donkey to Bethlehem. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I remember when I took my wife to the hospital to have our first child, it was a snowstorm, you know, ice everywhere, and we were in the SUV, and it was bad enough. Can you imagine having to ride with her on a donkey to get where we're going to have this thing? I mean, it was rough, you know? So here you've got this scene, this teenage girl rides into town on a donkey, no place to stay. So they end up in a barn, a manger, a place for the animals to stay and to eat and everything else. It wasn't even a cute little barn like we would see today. No, it was a hole carved into the side of a mountain, into the rock where the animals could sleep. There was no sanitation, there was nothing. And here is this young girl delivering a baby. Can you imagine what it was like? Screaming, painful. I mean, you've experienced it. You've seen it happen, right? I mean, for some of you ladies, guys, I know you haven't, okay? Don't try to go there. And if you've seen the video of the guys who pretended and had the electrical stuff hooked up to them to make it simulate, you ladies can keep it. You got my respect. You're my heroes because I couldn't do it. But the reality is, here's this young girl who delivers this child amongst everything else. Here is in these situations. And so here is, oh, holy night. This song, this moment begins. And so here they are, the worst environment, everything's about it. But yet there is the greatest event ever taking place. Oh, holy night. This song is there and has some very interesting phrases as we think about the moment that it took place. And so what I want to do is focus in on a couple of little phrases that we find in it. Here's the ones. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Think about that for a second. I think if there's two words that could describe our world today, it's weary world, right? I mean, it's crazy. Today we look around and we see all of the things going on. We see our economy, which, you know, we say it's coming back. But yeah, go tell that to some people that are going to come in here next Saturday who have nothing and are going to need to rely on people being able to give them food and toys and clothes and everything else to make it through this season where many of us will have kind of an easy road about it. There are still people struggling in our country, not only around this world. We have a weary world. It's struggling financially. It's struggling in all kinds of ways. You just read the news. Look at San Bernardino. Look at Paris. Look at the things that are happening in our world. Our world is weary. It's worn down. We find ourselves in a very interesting place. But on the moment that Jesus was born, the moment he came into the world, something changed. And the opportunity for us to look at our weary world became different. And so here's the song that helps us to understand that. Every time we begin to look at it, we see the chaos of the night around us. We look at our world and we say, man, it's going. It's done. You know, Jesus is coming back soon. I mean, how many times have you heard that lately? Because of the things going on. There's a vision of us seeing things, and it's dark, and it's out of place. Something's going to happen soon. And so we see this. And so we need to understand, though, that though things are dark in our world, things are weary, there is a new day that's going to come. It is going to change. And what we need to understand is that can change today for us, that a new day can come. And in our as we look at this song, the thrill of hope, that there in this weary world, there can be a thrill of hope for us. And it begins with a new day with Jesus. A new day with Jesus. A day with him can change anything. And so I want us to focus in on what it's going to look like to have a new and glorious morn. How do we get that? How do we take out of our world that we see falling apart around us? And how do we find ourselves being able to see the light ahead? So let's look at some points that I believe we're going to find that'll come out of this and help us to understand it. If you have your Bibles or your phone app, go ahead and turn to Lamentations chapter 3. It's kind of interesting. Pastor Gabe talked about this very scripture last week, and I was like, man, you're going to get hammered with this twice. You're going to get to hear this. But the cool thing about this isn't one of those scriptures that does hammer you. It's one of those scriptures that ought to jack you up. We ought to all leave out of here by what the prophet says in here to understand who God is through this. If you have your Bibles, Lamentations 3, beginning in verse 20. The context here, Lamentations, is written in the year 586 BC, the prophet Jeremiah is there, and he's really lamenting. Do you know what lament is? Yeah, it's what my five-year-old does when I take away the iPad from her. Yeah, she whines and cries and all that, right? Isn't that a shame that kids get upset over stuff like that? But it's when you take the toy away. And guess what? Us big kids do that too, don't we? We whine and cry about a lot of things. And here's Jeremiah whining and crying. He's lamenting over the things, the situation that's going on. Jerusalem has fallen, and people are in this, and people are distraught. They're seeing the weary world around them. They're seeing the things happening much like we see today. And so here's Jeremiah writing to them, and he's been whining, and all of a sudden he makes this twist into this look of faith. Here's where it goes, verse 20. I well remember them. He's talking about his infirmities. He's talking about all the things that are going on. I remember them well, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet, I like that, yet, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's amazing what a new day in Jesus can bring. So let's look at a few of those things. The first one is a new day with Christ brings exactly what you need. You have your notes, or you want to write this down, go ahead. It brings exactly what you need. Every day with Christ brings it. Not what you want necessarily. See, that's where we get messed up. We always want what we want. But we always get what we need when it comes to a relationship with Jesus. What we truly need is there. Lamentations 3:24 says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. How many of you talk to yourself? Just be honest. Yeah, you know what? You guys think I preach at you. You should hear me preach at me. Because I don't hold back when I preach at me. You know, I get a little crazy at myself sometimes because I ought to know better, right? But the thing of it is, we all talk to ourselves and we all coach ourselves. We all preach at ourselves. We all tell ourselves, man, that was dumb. Sometimes, you know, we gotta be able to tell ourselves, hey, that was good. I hope you do that for yourself. If you don't tell yourself you've done good things when you do good things, you need to start doing that. You need to encourage yourself. But here's the thing, we often talk to ourselves, and here's Jeremiah saying, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord's my portion. What does that mean? What does it mean to say that he's my portion? Is that, you know, what's he looking at? Well, I believe what he's talking about here, and a lot of scholars agree to that, is that he's talking back to when the Israelites were wandering in the desert. And every day that God would provide manna for them, this sustenance, this bread-like thing for them, and it was always just enough. If they tried to hoard it and save some for later, guess what? It went bad. They couldn't hold on to it. It was to give them exactly what they needed for today. Couldn't hold on to it. You couldn't store it. You couldn't help. Hold some for the next day so you'd have a little extra. No, it was what you needed for the day. God gave them exactly enough. In the New Testament, when Jesus taught us to pray, he said to ask God to give us what? Our daily bread, right? And so he said, give me today what I need. Don't ask for all the other stuff. Just pray and ask God to give you what you need to get you through the day. Every day. God is good and he provides what we need. The Lord's our daily portion. He's exactly what I need. The good news is that I want us to all understand that God is already preparing. He's taking care of today for you, and he's already in tomorrow working on it for you too. You see, the thing about it is that we find ourselves in different places and we worry about, are we going to be able to get through it? Well, let's just be honest. Some of us in the room, there's some marriages that are struggling. They're not doing well. And you're sitting here thinking, God, just give me something. I need something. I need something. Well, guess what you need? It's God. Because He gives you what you need. Some of us are struggling by just feeling weak today. Listen, God is there to give you what you need to get through whatever it is you need strength for. He's there to do that for you. He's there to give you what you need. He's already there preparing what tomorrow for you. You're down and depressed. Guess what? He's already there tomorrow, and He's ready to bring your joy to you. He's the lifter of our head. A new day with Christ, it brings you what you need. And really, here's what we need. At the end of the day, what we need is God's presence in our lives. But we need to be available to Him, and we need to open ourselves up to know that He is there for us. I think so often we sit in the midst of what's going on in our weakness and in our struggles, and we keep praying for God to give us something. Give me what I need, God, to get me through it. And the whole time He's already done it. And He's already provided, but we're so stuck in seeing our problem and seeing our own weakness that we forget to see how good He is and how strong He is and how capable He is of helping us through whatever it is that we're going through. We need to be able to understand that He gives us exactly what we need. The second thing that He does for us is that a new day with Christ, it brings us the hope to keep going. A new day with Christ brings us the hope to keep going. It's a thrill of hope. When was the last time you got thrilled about something? You know, you think about a child opening a present on Christmas morning. Is there any bigger thrill for a child to just rip that sucker open and get out whatever it is that they've been longing for? I mean, that's what we as parents, we love that. We love to see our kids, you know, tear that stuff open and get what they want. And so think about that kind of thrill. If we were to see the hope that God gives us with that kind of enthusiasm and excitement, don't you think things would look a little bit different around our house? What about our neighborhood? It'd be a little bit different, wouldn't it? If we had the thrill of the hope and we got so excited about it, don't you think our city would look a little different and our state and our country if the church would just realize that we have a thrill and this hope that's there to get excited about? Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him." The Lord's good to us. Those that seek Him, He will find Him, and there will be good things for them. Someone said this, I think it's pretty interesting, that we can live 40 days or so without food, right? That Jesus did that. I know people who've done a 40-day fast. You can live 40 days or so without food. It's possible. You can live 8 days or so without water. You can live 4 minutes or so without oxygen. But you can only live a few moments, a few seconds without hope. Some of us have put our hope in stock markets. Guess what that does? It fails, right? Some of us put our hope in our companies. Anybody out there put your hope in your company and you ain't got a job? Happens, right? Put our hope in businesses. If we put our hope in another person, I think we could all testify to that. You put your hope in another person, they will let you down almost every time. It will happen. We put our hope in some kind of outcome that we think we need, and when we don't get exactly what we want, we are messed up. The reason is because we're putting our hope in the wrong place. Our hope needs to be put into Christ. It needs to be put into the one who can sustain our hope. We start to end up, when we put our hope in the wrong places, we begin to find ourselves hopeless. And there is nothing more difficult to see than someone without hope. Hebrews 10:23 says this, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Do you know what unswervingly means? It means unswervingly. Okay, just go figure that. You'll get that later. But that means to hold on no matter what happens. Not here or there with it, not here when we want to and there when we don't want to, it's holding on unswervingly, not letting go no matter what happens. Man, one time I saw this kid holding on to the back of a pickup truck, and he was on a skateboard. All right? And that truck was pulling this kid on the skateboard, and he's holding on no matter what the truck did to let him. I would have held on too. I'm just telling you. I'd have never got on there to begin with, but man, it'd have been handprints on that tailgate from me holding on for dear life to the back of that truck. But if we will grab the hope that we have and hold on to it, this hope we profess, man, wouldn't things be different? Do you get where we're going? That if we will begin to see the hope that God has, if we will begin to have this thrill, to begin to see hope in Christ as what it truly is, it changes things. We want things different. We want things to be better. We want things to be, more like we want it to be. Listen, hope is where we see that happen. When we hold on to him who is faithful, we begin to see things change. Grab a hope of the hope you profess. You know what's happening too often? Too many people are letting go of the hope. They're professing it. They come to church and they say, here's a decision I made. Here's who I believe in. We come and we raise our hands and we sing and we do all this. And then we go out of here and we go to work and we look at our surroundings and we look at our situation and we say, I just don't know what's going to happen. This is not going to work. It's hopeless. Well, no, it's not. Because remember who you were just singing about and holding your hands up and you were all pumped up about at church about? That's who changes those things too. Your situation may never change, but your perspective certainly can because of the hope that you have that that's not the end. That there is something bigger and something more important. Some of us are here and we've grabbed hold and we've let go of this hope. We've let Jesus go, and we may call his name, but we don't follow his name. We don't follow him, and we don't hold on tight. Hang on to the promises. Don't let go. We've let go of hope, and we've grabbed on to everything else. We grab hold of anxiety. We grab hold of bad relationships. We grab hold of fear. We grab hold of anxiety and stress. We grab hold of panic and doubt. And we let go of the one who's already defeated all of that. Hang on to the promises of God and don't let go. Don't lose hope. A new day in Christ brings hope. And when you recognize him for who he is, wake up first thing in the morning and understand that God is there with you and has conquered it already. Listen, that should bring us and lift us up, bring us to a place of understanding and lift us up. Don't lose hope. I've been struggling lately. It's kind of interesting. On Facebook, there is there's a little place that always pops up and it says, people you may know, right? And so it shows you, if you don't know Facebook, it's you got all these people that you know, you're friends with. Well, there's this one place that other people who have Facebook accounts that you may not be friends with yet, you have the opportunity to choose them and send them a friend request, and then they can accept it, and now you're friends again, okay? It's official. All right, so there's this little thing that pops up, and there are little faces there. There's a guy's face that pops up on mine almost every time. And the interesting thing about that is this guy is no longer living. And he pops up almost every day, and so I see his face every day. It's kind of interesting. I was able to do part of his funeral. But the thing about him is that he just didn't die. He took his own life. This guy was incredibly talented. Man, could play all kinds of instruments, could play the guitar like nobody's business. I mean, so effortlessly, he looked bored while he was doing it. He used to laugh at him, kind of joke with him about, you know, sorry to bore you, you know, and just an amazing musician. But at some point, he got to a place where he lost hope. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he was overwhelmed with fear. I don't know if he was overwhelmed with anger. I don't know if he was overwhelmed with just the outlook of what the situation was, right? I don't know what got him to that place of hopelessness. But at some point, he decided that it would be better to take his life than to see what may come tomorrow with the sunrise. Think about it. A day in the life with Christ is something that we should take very seriously. But so many of us take a new day in Christ and we say, you know what? I see what's right in front of me and I can't see anything else and I've lost hope. Let me just tell you, don't lose hope. I remember going and going to see his family after this moment, you know, of finding out and everything else and going and just driving away and thinking, man, what if he could have made it through the night and saw the sunrise the next day? What if he could have made it through and seen what the next day would have brought? See, we don't know what it would have brought for him. And if you lose hope and you decide that enough's enough, that this night is all I can take, you're never going to know what the sunrise could bring you. And I'm telling you that a new day in Christ is something that we should look forward to every single day. It will bring you what you need, and it'll bring you hope that'll keep you going. If you know somebody that's at the end of their rope, you need to let them know about the hope that you profess. You need to let them know, not with your mouth necessarily, but with your life. You see, I think the way that we change the world isn't by what we go and say. It's important, but it's way more important that we go and we back it up with how we live. Today, a new day in Christ, it'll give you what you need, and it'll give you the hope to keep you going. Don't quit. Tonight may look very dark. It may look really bad, but I promise you, if you'll hang on, the sun will rise, and the sun will come back, and the sun will raise all of us up. We have a hope that we got to hang on to, and if the church will begin to grab it and hold on to it, listen, Christmas would be a whole lot different if we saw it for the hope that it brought rather than the gifts we might get. I know your kids are going to be excited, but I promise you, if you'll show them the hope of Christmas rather than the gifts of Christmas, your home could be a lot different. A new day in Christ brings you what you need. It brings you hope to keep you going, and a new day with Christ brings the help that you're seeking. Lamentations 3, verse 26 says, "It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Now, if you're like me, there ain't nothing good about waiting. I don't want to wait for nothing. I hate riding in the car because that means I'm waiting to get wherever the person driving is going. I don't like it. I don't like waiting. But Jeremiah said it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes you have to wait quietly. Some of us need salvation. Some of us in the room maybe have never come to a place of recognizing the hope I've been talking about. You never come to a place of realizing that the hope you can have is that that little baby was born in a manger. And so we can celebrate that and get a lot of cool stuff. But the reality is that baby grew up. And that baby wasn't just a regular baby. It was the Son of God, and he was born so that he could grow up, show us how to live our lives without sin, to give his life on a cross to pay the price for our sins, to be taken off that cross, buried, and on the third day raised again by the power of God, so that you and I and every person alive would have an opportunity to acknowledge him for what he did and accept that their sins are paid for, the debt's paid, and that they can now confess their sins, be forgiven of it, and live forever in heaven, restored in the relationship with God we were meant to have all along. See, that's the hope. The hope isn't necessarily just for today, which is an amazing thing, but the hope that we have in Jesus is an eternal thing. It'll last forever. And we get to begin enjoying it the moment we accept it. A new day in Christ brings you the help that you've been seeking. To wait patiently. Think about some people that waited. I think about Lazarus. Dude was dead 4 days, right? He was sitting in the tomb. The King James Version says he'd been there a little while because he stinketh, right? If you start stinketh, you know, there's a problem. You need to know that. And here's Lazarus, he's begun to stinketh. Jesus shows up, looks at the tomb, and says, "Hey, Lazarus, come on out, man." Lazarus gets up and walks out. It's kind of a cool thing he waited those 4 days, isn't it? Because he was restored to life. Think about this lady in the scriptures that we know for 12 years had struggled with this bleeding issue. Can you imagine what that must be like for like 12 years to like bleed? I don't understand it. You know, I was helping a buddy do something the other day, and I got a little, you know, I don't like to wait. So we were putting something together, and I decided it wouldn't fit, and so I decided to make it fit. And guess what? His finger was in the way, and it smashed his finger, and it bled, and it bled, and it bled. And finally got it stopped about 2 hours later. Can you imagine what it would be like to do that for 12 years? The annoying problem that would come from that with that situation would be like, but this lady who had suffered through all of this, after 12 years, Jesus comes by, she reaches out and touches his garment and is healed. Sometimes you gotta wait for the salvation. Sometimes it may, you know, it's not about our salvation of being saved from our sins, but just the salvation of our situation. Sometimes we got to make it through some difficult stuff to be able to see the new morning, the sunrise that comes in a relationship with Christ. Think about the dude for 38 years who'd been crippled and laying beside, you know, who had had to rely on people to carry him around and get him from place to place. And he's laying beside the pool of Bethesda on a mat. And Jesus walks up. You know, this guy's late. He's been crippled all of his life. And Jesus says, "Get up and pick up your mat." 38 years. Listen, some of us go through something for like 2 weeks and we're done, right? This dude was paralyzed for 38 years, and Jesus walks up, says, "Pick up your mat and walk." What did the guy do? He picked up his mat and he walked. See, for some of us, we need to understand what God's trying to tell us in the midst of our situation, that he gives us what we need. He gives us the hope to keep us going, and then he gives us the help that we're seeking. He's the one that we need to cry out to. But we don't need to try to fix things ourselves. We don't try to figure it out. We need to ask him and allow him to be the one who brings us what we're seeking, this help. Some of us here today, you're weary. I know. You've shared with me. Some of you haven't shared with me. But I don't have to hear your story to know that so many of us are weary, because it's just a weary world that we live in. But yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. We need to understand that the day in Christ brings us what we need. It brings us the hope to keep us going, and it gives us the help that we're seeking. Some of us are sick today. You're sick in body. You're sick in your relationships. You're sick in your finances. You're sick in all kinds of places. Listen, Jesus is the answer to those things. That's what Christmas is all about. It was about the hope coming so that we could understand and live the life we were created to live. I'm not talking about, you know, this is not prosperity stuff. This is just about you and Jesus and making sure the relationship is all that it's meant to be. And when you have that, you will have everything that you need. The rest will work itself out, I promise. Listen, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to get wrapped up in depression. I know what it's like to get wrapped up in anxiety. I know what it's like to get wrapped up in an addiction to something that you think will fix what you got, and it don't. It only makes things worse. I know. Not because somebody told me, because I've been there. I know what it's like to look at other stuff and think, man, if I could just have this job and I can make this much money, then everything would be right. It wasn't right when I had all that. I know what it's like to say, man, if we were just well, if I just had my health, everything would be good. And the moment that your health is gone, and then you realize, you know, what am I going to do now? It's not even about having good health. It's just about understanding who made you and created you to do the things that you were created to do. It's not about being too young to do it. It's not about being too old to do it. You know, not about being too blonde to do it, or whatever your excuse might be. Yeah, that'll probably get me some emails. So anyway, or get me in trouble when I get home. But anyway, the reality is we come up with all kinds of reasons why we can't find the hope that we're meant to have. But the truth is that Jesus died so that we could all have it. We could all have it, and so could everybody out of here. So what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with this hope that we're supposed to have? Are we going to accept it? Because that's what some of us in the room need to do. We need to accept it for the very first time. We need to accept Christ as our Savior and know that He's the one who gets us through, that He brings the hope that we need. He's the one who gives us the hope to keep us going. He's the one who brings us the help that we're seeking. But we got to reach out and take it. And so this Christmas season, my prayer is that at some point you'll understand that the night doesn't have to be dark. The night doesn't have to be the end. Though it may be a holy night, there is a new day coming, a new and glorious morn. My prayer is that Christmas morning for you and for me will be that glorious morn, that we see it for what it really is. And not just that morning, but for every morning from now on. May we accept it. And may we live out the hope that we profess to have. God, I pray in these moments that as we think about who you are and what you've created us to do, God, I pray that we'll recognize that hope. God, that you sent your son Jesus not just to come and be a baby laying in some straw in a little wooden box, but God, that you sent your son Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sin. And because of his sacrifice, that God, we have the opportunity to have a relationship with you and be restored to where it was you wanted us to be all along. So in these moments, God, may we recognize that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short. But God, through our confession of our sin and accepting of your son, Jesus, that we are healed and we are given hope. For those that have that hope already, God, I pray that it would become stronger and that, God, it would become more, they would become more dependent on you to be who it is that they need. God, I pray for those who've never accepted that this would be the day that they recognize that this is a new and glorious morning. That no matter how dark the night gets, that you'll always be there. And that you'll bring the sun. So God, move in our hearts. God, do whatever it is that you need to do in us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.